So it seems to me like this Bezos story has at its heart is that catch and kill policy of theirs politically motivated. I didn't even know about the phenomenon of newspapers, tabloids, whomever, telling somebody, hey, you've got a story. We want exclusive rights. Here's $10,000 or here's $100,000. You've caught the story. But then instead of publishing it, you kill it. That way, it never sees the light of day. Now, you may do that because, in fact, you shouldn't have paid for it. It's not a legitimate story. Or it may be just a way to silence something for whatever reason. Weird that a journalism organization would do that. But is that catch-and-kill policy politically motivated? Now, the Inquirer parent company, this AMI, wants Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post to stop looking into that question. Did AMI catch and kill some stories that would have been politically embarrassing for the president? Did they help him out? They want Bezos to say, first of all, we're going to stop looking into that issue, and number two, that there was no political motivation. And by the way, if you don't, we're going to release embarrassing photos about you, Jeff Bezos. And rather than deal with that privately, Bezos blogged on Medium. He said, hey, I'm being shook down. At least that's the way I understand the story. Writing about it in the Washington Post is Margaret Sullivan. Margaret, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm well, John. It's great to talk to you and your audience.
Is that a fair summary of where we are right now?
It is. I think that, you know, the one piece of it is really the investigation that the National Enquirer is trying to shut down is Bezos' own investigation with his investigators, as far as I know, rather than anything the Washington Post is trying to do. And, you know, there really is an editorial wall there between our owner and our editorial, decision making and so on. They're pretty separate. But otherwise, I think you summarized it well. And it's a really... it's a really bizarre situation in which Bezos has done, in my mind, a very tough-minded and courageous thing by saying, you can't actually shake me down because I'm going to get out in front of it. I'm going to reveal myself, you know, everything there is, although he didn't publish any photographs. They have embarrassing images of him. And, of course, you know, no one wants those to be printed in the National Enquirer or anywhere else. But what he refused to do was to accede to their demands and say something that he believes may not be true and get involved in their blackmail and their extortion scheme. So, you know, Bezos is my overall big boss, I suppose you could say, because he owns the Washington Post. But my view is quite separate from that he's done something pretty admirable here by standing up to the National Enquirer.
Well, can you help me understand the difference between a Washington Post investigation and a Bezos investigation?
Well, this is Bezos' own investigation paid for by himself privately with his own investigators of what, you know, how the National Enquirer got the text messages that he sent to this woman who he's been involved with extramaritally. It's not, to my knowledge, about a Washington Post, you know, reporting investigation, but rather his own investigation done with his own investigators and his lawyers and so on.
But then the Inquirer, their parent company, are saying they're outraged by that, and so then they're just playing their ace, which is, hey, dude, we'll publish those photos. This doesn't have much to do then with Donald Trump. Do I understand that correctly?
You know, some people think it does, that the Inquirer and Trump have been very close throughout the past couple of years, certainly because Trump's personal friend, whose name is David Pecker, who is the chairman of AMI, you know, he and Trump have been social friends, and also the Inquirer has been very much on Trump's side. They were one of the few newspapers in the country to endorse his presidential run. You know, just a handful did that. They have participated in this thing that you described, John, this catch and kill of stories that could have damaged Trump because they were women ready to talk about their affairs with him. The Inquirer essentially bought the rights to those stories and then buried them. And so that's come out in recent months. So there's been a very tight bond, certainly, between the Inquirer and Trump. But there's no particular reason to think right now, at least not that I know about, that this newest chapter has anything to do with Trump. It, you know, it may turn out to, but we don't know that right now.
In other words, this whole chapter could have happened irrespective of that. They could have simply had embarrassing photos about a famous billionaire, but I'm trying to figure out what they would have wanted from
him. You're right, and I mean that's the mystery here. I just don't want to go too far in speculating that it is about Trump, because it is only speculation, and I guess I'd rather stay close to what I actually know.
Yeah, imagine that.
But it's curious.
Yeah.
It's curious to think about, you know, why they would go so far and do such a dangerous thing in threatening and perhaps extorting, you know, someone like Jeff Bezos, who has tremendous resources. He's the richest man in the world.
Well, and leaving a digital trail, which seems kind of stupid to me. Maybe they thought that he wouldn't be so open and brazen about it. Does this remind you in any way of what David Letterman did when he was extorted?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I hadn't thought about Letterman. What I had been thinking about was, believe it or not, for those of us who've seen the musical Alexander Hamilton, there once was an effort to blackmail him, and he did something similar. He went ahead and printed himself the very allegations about an affair he was having that were being used to threaten him. So I guess this is a technique that comes down through the centuries and the decades.
What's the next step, do you think? What happens now?
Well, the Inquirer and its parent company have said, oh, gee, you know, we didn't mean to do anything in bad faith. We think that we were simply negotiating with Mr. Bezos. But now that you say that it's extortion or blackmail, we, the board of AMI, will take another look at this, do our own investigation, and see if it, you know, if it's something that requires action. And separately, you know, it's a very complicated situation, but the federal prosecutors have given immunity to David Pecker in this case involving Trump's fixer, Michael Cohen. And now, you know, in order to have that immunity, they had to stay out of legal trouble. Does this thing now put them in legal trouble and therefore sort of abnegate the immunity that they had? So that's on the table, too.
Margaret,
there's a lot that's kind of developing.
Margaret Sullivan's on the line, the media columnist for The Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos. Lots of texts about this. 815 says, isn't blackmail or extortion against the law? Shouldn't they be prosecuted? You just used the word negotiated. Can you talk about that?
Right. Well, certainly Jeff Bezos is portraying this as an effort to blackmail him. It certainly seems like it. I mean, he published the emails from between his representatives and those from AMI or the National Enquirer. He characterizes them as an effort to extort or blackmail. Whether that meets a legal standard, you know, which creates criminality, you know, I can't say, but it certainly, you know, it certainly is, in my mind, from a journalistic perspective, more than unethical.
Well,
it's not anything that any respectable journalistic organization would do. Whether that rises to the level of criminal behavior is not for me to know.
I just want to ask you one last question about then Bezos' stand and how tempting it would be to swallow this, or how courageous this is to stand up as he is. But in your reporting on this, you say, this is in quotes, the Washington Post poised to publish unsubstantiated rumors of the National Enquirer's initial report. I wanted to describe to you the photos obtained during our news gathering. That's them to him. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like a negotiation. I mean, come on. I want to describe to you the photos. So they didn't show him the photos, but they said, here's what we're looking at. And wow, that's not a negotiation to me.
No, it isn't. And to call it negotiating in good faith, I think, strains our credulity. So, you know, I think that Bezos is on a solid footing here.
So how bad is this for Bezos? I mean, you know, billionaires operate on a different planet. I think a lot of us expect the weirdest or quirkiest from them. Really, think about the billionaires you know, and or we know of, And
I do know some.
They're stocked full of peccadilloes and embarrassing transgressions. And so if there's naked pictures of him and some beautiful Fox News anchor from California, whatever. I'm not going to look at him. Whatever.
Well, you know, much of the news of Jeff Bezos's affair with Lauren Sanchez had already come out, and he had already he and his wife Mackenzie had already announced their divorce. So to some extent, you know, now they hadn't published these intimate photographs that they have, and that was the leverage that they hoped to use here. But you know, I mean, I think that by saying, you know, he in his blog post he allows these photos to be described. I mean, I don't know how much more, as you say, people sort of understand that people have a private life. Maybe it's not any kind of relationship advice we'd like to take, but we all understand that, you know, there's a lot of skeletons in a lot of different closets.
Well, look at the embarrassment that the president has survived. So would the Inquirer, is it conceivable they would actually publish pictures of these pictures would actually be in their newspaper?
Well, that's what they were saying they were going to do. I don't know that you know, I don't know that they've ever gone that far before, but that's certainly what the threat was.
Makes me want to subscribe to the Washington Post, I'll tell you that. I mean,
we would welcome you.
I've said this many times on this radio show. If you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. We need to support journalism. Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist at WAPO. Margaret, nice to talk to you. I hope you can join us again. Thanks for your time and reporting today.
Thanks very much, John. Thanks for having me.